Hello and welcome to the Melissa Diaz Report. My name is Melissa Diaz, and here we go with this Monday, July 14th. Pretty good at that, knowing the date. I just got that off the top of my head. You see that? I know what day it is, and I have a three-month-old, okay? And I'm kind of a ditz, so those two things together, and I still know that it is July 14th. Why do I know that? Because I don't usually. It's because it was my husband's birthday yesterday, Sunday, July 13th. And we had a pretty great day. We've been trying to figure out how to have nice days with and without this baby. And yesterday we kind of tried to do a little bit of both. Because I got to tell you, I'll admit it. I'll be the first one to admit it, and it's that this baby's really starting to grow on me. Yes, that's right, you heard it. I think I love this baby. I think I do. Call me crazy, but she is cute as a button. That's all. I don't know. I'm a little embarrassed to admit it. I'm a little ashamed. I'm a little embarrassed to admit it, but I fell for a baby. And it just so happens to be my baby. What are the chances? I don't know. Anyway, enough of that. Look, it was a nice day. We spent the first half of it, or the early part of the day with her. We went to get some coffee, I think, right? Dude. All right, never mind about knowing what day it is. I forget what I do 2 days ago. I already forgot. Except for these last 2 days, because it was a little bit of an anomaly. Because Sunday, yeah, we did this this birthday for Gene. First half of the day, you know, we woke up, happy birthday. Yeah, we got our shit together as quickly as we could, which takes a longer time with a kid. And you know, 5 diaper changes and a couple of splashes of water on the face later. Slap yourself on the cheek and, you know, quick little pep talk, you know, you can get through this, you can do this, you know, you wanted this kid and you're both very happy. And then you go, you walk out of the bathroom and you look at your family and you go, let's go get some coffee. Sound fun? And you do. And it is. So we had a good time. We were there for a good amount of time. We had to change her diaper and clean her butt from poop right there in the middle of the patio, which I don't care. It's just if you're a listener and you do care about stuff like that, if that's like a notable detail, well, that's what I picture. That we're sitting in a little wooden booth, a booth made of wood in the middle of some backyard Austin, Texas style coffee shop patio, backyard, whatever. There's some goats. There's a lot of flies because of the goats, and we're sitting in this booth, and this baby is propped up on a couple of pillows and a portable changing pad and a liner, and just changing her diaper with her bright red baboon-like red ass. That's how red her ass is with this fucking diaper rash. Just exposed to the elements, waving away flies. Surprisingly, flies aren't really interested in her. Maybe she's too brand new. Flies like a little bit of corruption, you know. That's why they like. That's probably why they prefer adults, because they can feel that our flesh is, our sweat, our carbon dioxide that we're expelling is closer to decaying than a baby. They don't. I think they go for babies like if they have to, or if the baby's just completely defenseless, then you know a fly will take advantage of anything. They love food, but flies weren't really a problem. Just had it, but changing her diaper in the middle of nowhere, in the outside, in public, that was something. And I breastfed over there too. One time I had to. There was no more milk left. I was desperate, and I was like, "Fuck it! Like, pop out a titty, just do it, just get it over with." So, and it wasn't that hard. I had a big shirt on, and then you just kind of like crouch over the baby, and you look around, and it feels really similar to peeing in the woods. It feels just like that, except get more confusing because you feel like you're doing something important, but it still feels like you should be ashamed of yourself or something. I don't know. Or like you should be – it's not a shame thing, actually. It's just like careful, wary. You feel wary. You look around. You look over your shoulder because it's just as vulnerable a position as squatting behind a tree in the woods, which is interesting. It's funny that you squat behind trees in the woods when there's no designated entrance to the woods. You can come in from any direction, so technically somebody can come and see your bare ass from the opposite end that you're the side of the tree you're hiding behind. You just assume that the door would be on the other side of that tree, but there are no avenues in the woods. People come from all over all the directions. And sometimes you could even be in a place that has infrastructure and you're still wrong. Like one time I was drunk this time, but I did try to find a private spot to pop a squat one time in Midtown Manhattan. I couldn't on the west side. I couldn't find a place. There was no bathrooms. I wasn't allowed, and I didn't want to buy anything. I was too broke. I was a kid. And I was too stoned and paranoid to really ask anyway. So I was like, I'm going to go pop a squat somewhere. So I tried my best. I walked all over the place. I found this place that's it was like a retail building, like a business building with a line of retail on the ground floor. And then it was the retail, building face was... There was like between that and the street was an arcade built around it for some reason, old school, right? So you'd like a gallery kind of vibe, like almost like a hallway built out of columns and gates, right? And a lot of these stores were closed, so I'm like, hey, I'm gonna pee in here, right? Let me go. If I go all the way to the end, nobody will see me. So I make the effort to spare Manhattan, the sight of my bare ass, and I go and I walk all the way over there. I pop a squat, and I'm like, winning, right? And then I'm like, I did it. I'm doing it, right? New York. And all of a sudden I feel a breeze on my twat, and I look back, and it's like, it's rush hour too, so it's just the whole rush hour crowd from the business district of Midtown Manhattan West is just parading past my ass that I thought was pointing towards a dead end, but was actually, facing towards a gate that interfaced with the sidewalk. So people were just walking by. There's my ass. I'm just peeing. It's really humbling to find yourself one of those people that people look towards and go, ah, man, this city's going to shit. Literally, look at this fucking... I mean, I wasn't, but you know what I mean? So anyway, I've had a lot of humbling experiences in my life. I have. But anyway, that was a memorable one. But anyway, we're going, I'm changing this baby's diaper. Then I, in this backyard patio, I've breastfed in also. And we had some coffee. We hung out. It was very nice. And once we were done, we went back home. Gene actually made some breakfast croissant sandwiches. He's so good at them that it wouldn't actually be good if I made them for his birthday. I'm a good cook, but he's made them every weekend. So it's like that thing where you cook something to your idea of perfection. You don't want somebody, crowding in on your little party. And going, I can make it for you. Because they're going to do it wrong in like subtle ways. Like the egg will be cooked like the wrong amount. It won't be wrapped around the cheese the way you've perfected, right? They're not going to sear the sausage the way you like it. So I would probably have come up with a pretty good one. But he makes it so good that it was like, it's your birthday, but go ahead, king. So he did it. We ate it. We hung out. We had a really nice time. It was very sweet. Everything. It was a very idyllic day. Everything kind of worked. It worked out, and it was very nice. Then we dropped the baby off with Jean's parents, right? And they're like, "Oh, dyadushka," they're all Russians and stuff. So I'm just like, "That's cool, babushka, dyadushka. have fun. And we left them with the diapers and the thing and the thing that they, everything they needed. And then we left and we drove around. We had a really nice time. We had, you know, it was one of the few times we've been able to hang out just the two of us in a while. So that was really nice. We went down to a coffee shop and we had some more food and more. Oh, we had some Bloody Marys. That was nice. Drinking. Ooh, la la. Then, you know, interspersed with worrying about the baby because, you know, we're fucking paranoid, neurotic worriers also, even though we're also at the same time, dizzy, just hilarious nihilists also. So those two things conflict often. But we were like, oh, there's the baby. What an annoying bitch. Am I right? Ha, ha, ha. No, but seriously, how is she? I love her so much. Anyway, so, you know, that was a little bit of that. But we had a good time. We came back to the house and we just took a nap. And that felt like being in the lap of luxury, just taking a nap. That was amazing. Then, you know, some canoodling happened. And then, yeah, it was really nice. And then, you know, we spent the evening just kind of hanging out. Gene played guitar, you know, just kind of being the way we were for a little bit, a little slice of that before we had a kid and all that jazz. And then it was like, time to take the baby back, we both actually exhaled hard. And it was like, okay, you ready? I'll put my shoes on. All right, let's go. And so, yeah. And it wasn't, we didn't drag our feet, but it was just like, you know, you give that one breath. Like, okay, are you ready? You ready to get back and jump back into the fray? All right. So that was a Sunday. And that may not sound like much to you, but it was really nice. And really, sometimes the best days are the days where, like, nothing happens. That's actually a night, especially nowadays, where we're in this weird situation where it's like, you don't even know if shit is hitting the fan or not. It's just, you know, so, you know, your phone was useful at one point, and now this thing that was useful for information is fucking saying bizarre shit about AI, about Epstein, about the environment, about, you know, it's like every day, you know, you're getting blasted with all this bullshit from a device that you actually need for your job. So it sucks. And then also, then it's like, you know, because your phones will give you whatever you need. Your social media will give you whatever you need to keep you on it. So, you know, for me, it's like crazy global events and World War III and shit. But then for other people, it's just porn, especially. And by other people, I just mean men mostly. So, you know, it'll just keep you there. And it's like a little cigarette. The phones are like a little cigarette now. You just, you tap it, you stare at it, you stare out into space. I'm treating it like a cigarette. I quit cigarettes years ago, and now it's like I have a new cigarette. This is the same fucking thing. It's like I do the same thing with the cigarette I would with the my phone that I would do with a cigarette. Right? I try to keep it away from my kid. I try to use it when she's not around. I step outside to look at it. I'm kind of self-conscious about it when I'm around friends who I know aren't into that kind of stuff. You know, and it's like, it's kind of rude when I pop it out in front of company, you know, unless they're doing it too, then we just all nihilistically doom scroll together, right? It's like the same fatalism that you get from cigarettes, you get it from the phone. It's exactly the same. It's a drug. It's the first digital drug. I mean, I think it's interesting that we're a part of history like this, where drugs finally aren't something that you need to grow in a field and then, you know, alter in a lab to consume. Now you actually, it's like a digital experience. It just fucking punches you in the fucking frontal lobe with dopamine. Pow, pow, pow. And you're just like, and you feel like just an intense relief, but also like fucking just creeping anxiety, right? It's just like a cigarette. Cigarettes give you anxiety and then also become the only cure for that anxiety. And it's like, same thing. But anyway, that was Sunday. Sunday was nice. Saturday was kind of hectic, but good too. I felt a little bit like myself. Yeah, this weekend, Saturday, I got to host, basically do a man on the street host gig with this this nonprofit called Builders that hired me for the day. It was good, man. You know, I got some, I went to San Antonio for this. We went to their Pearl District Farmers Market, which is Saturdays. I got there like basically 10. And then this guy, I was just there with two kids basically who were doing, one of them's in film school, probably going to drop out, which is smart actually. It's like, what, fuck school. It doesn't matter anymore. And then there was the other one who I guess he's just kind of like one of that company's go-to contractors in film stuff. So between the both of them, they're pretty cool guys. And we tried to, you know, we did it as efficiently and as well as possible. We had a good time. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I like talking to people, even stupid people. A lot of those people were fucking dumb as shit. But they were, when I say stupid, really, it's being unfair, right? The questions were political. But the thing is, they weren't that political, okay? I wasn't going like, what do you, the hardest question I asked was only because I wanted to get this guy's take because he said he liked video games and knew about tech. So I was just like, okay, what about that House Congressional Committee meeting where that lady said the thing about how AI superhumans was going to, you know, widen the income gap? And that's like, that's all you need to know about that. That's basically it. And, you know, he answered, and that's the hardest question that I asked. And it was only, you know, I thought it was interesting. I thought he'd think it was interesting and maybe he would say something about it. And the guy did find it interesting. It was interesting enough for him that I actually made him deviate from his initial goal, his agenda. This little dude with glasses, very soft-spoken, earnest, sweet-tempered looking redheaded guy with a blue Salt and Time work a t-shirt on, which is like a Christian thing. So I actually distracted him from talking about Jesus Christ, his Lord and Saviors. So yeah, but at the end, you know, he got into it anyway. He had to. I mean, that's the only reason why I think he did the interview. But I like talking to all those people, and I don't care how dumb they are about politics. I mean, people are smart about other things. They just don't even know it, I think, nowadays. You just don't even, because everybody's so into politics now that people forget that there's other ways to be smart, or there are other things to be smart about. There's not other ways to be smart. I think that's bullshit. I don't believe that whole fucking, like, there's so many different kinds of intelligence. Those are the same kind of people that think that humans have like different dietary needs based on race or some shit like that. You know what I mean? They're like soft eugenicists, but weirdly enough, they're not even white most of the time. You know what I mean? They're like black or like Puerto Rican or some shit. So it's like, you know, aside from those people, it's like people they're smart about what they do, right? They're smart about what they're into. So everybody there was that I interviewed. You know, some of them were like, I don't know a lot about Republicans and Democrats, but I do know about thrifting in Europe. So, you know, there you go. And I'm like, wow, impressive. You know, I would ask questions about that, but I wasn't being paid to, but I tried. But anyway, that was a good time. I was there for a while, though. I was just standing out there with the mosquitoes and the sun, the Texas sun, no less. Just talking to people. Some people were just legitimately completely morons, though. Like, there were a couple of stupids, the dumbest one was some chick. And that's the thing is about that is that she was very pretty and young. So, you know, it's like you give those kinds of girls a mulligan because at that time in their lives, they're so pretty and so hashtag blessed with ways to have fun in life without trying, because men will just give you shit. You don't even realize that they are littering the ground in front of you with rose petals and shit and perfuming the air. You don't even see it because it's just like it just happens from the minute you reach puberty, sometimes before, so you don't even see it. You don't even realize it. It's kind of like having this baby. And realizing how different it is when you're a baby, how people are, like how the world is. There's evil people and shit, but for the most part, when you're a baby, man, easy street. It's Sesame Street, actually. Fuck Easy Street. It's Sesame Street. Everyone is your neighbor. Everyone is waving at you, smiling at you, like asking, how are you? you doing? Right. Everyone has the baby voice. Everyone is talking to your parents like so happy that this is happening to them right now, that this fucking baby's here. And so you, as a baby, you know, that's, you just assume that that's how everybody's experience is, and it's not. So, you know, it's kind of like that with being a young hot chick, mostly just young. Being young is, as a woman, is extremely advantageous. And I remember it. And the only thing is I didn't have enough self-esteem. And I didn't trust. I don't trust anything to, like, any emotional state enough. So if I'm feeling too good, too bad, I'm always, something in me is always, like, kicking me the other way. And just kind of, I just need that tension of not knowing what the fuck is going on. Because that, and I feel like it keeps me on my toes, you know. And I've always been that way. So I never allowed myself to really assume that that's the way shit was. And that's why now that I'm older, I'm not one of the, you know, there's a lot of women that get mad about it. They're like, misogyny, you know, I don't get free shit anymore. It's like, you're not young and hot. What do you expect, dude? Let the young and hot get what they deserve, right? Let babies get what they deserve. That's just the way it is. Babies deserve that, how people treat them, like nice and sweet and gentle, right? And hot young girls and men, boys, deserve people to look at them, you know, with pride and like, look at the fucking youth right here, right? And like, let's give them a chance, right? So that's what they should get. That's what they should get. So yeah, like, you don't need that. You're fucking, you know what I mean? Like, if you're fucking 50, you know what the score is, and you got enough encouragement most of the time. I feel bad for people who didn't, though. That kind of sucks. Like, if you weren't hot or something. But even then, right, you were forged in the fires of the disappointment in people's eyes when they look at you. So, you know, that's also fine. Anyway, but I did that. I like talking to people. I found that really fun. Even the dumb people. I really don't care. Everybody's interesting. Everybody's interesting. Everybody got something. We're all here just trying to make shit work. So, yeah, I don't know. Well, one thing I'll say is I was instructed to ask like, what people's impression of the Democratic Party is, like a positive descriptor, like a positive aspect of the Democratic Party, and then a positive aspect of the Republican Party. And one interesting thing I'll say, I don't know if this helps you in any way, but the main positive attribute attributed to the Democratic Party was that they communicate empathy to people, right? They come across as more empathetic than the Republican Party. And then the positive attribute about the Republican Party is that they come across as more organized, better leadership, basically, right? And that so basically, whenever I would ask, well, then what do you think the party that you're with could learn from the opposing party? It was basically some level of that. It's like, Republicans, you know, more empathy, and then Democrats need better leadership and, you know, vision. It's like organization, which makes sense, because that's probably why, you know, when you get an impression of the Democrat Party and the Republican Party, the Democratic Party comes across as more like feminine, and the Republican Party comes across as more masculine. Because I feel like those are the things that people would attribute to, like, the cohort of the male gender, the female gender. I think that's just how it is. And I don't know, I find that interesting. I find that very interesting. I know you don't, if you don't believe in gender as anything but a social construct, then, you know, you don't like what I just said. But I mean, you know, there's other podcasts for you out there. You know what I'm saying? If that's how you feel. I get what you feel. I disagree with what you feel. Okay? So, yeah. But anyway, that was my weekend. That was what was happening with my weekend. And that's kind of all the time I have today. So I hear the baby crying. You know, life is calling me back to reality. So, yeah. I'll talk to you later this week. I'm going to be doing the podcast twice a week now, because, you know, I have personal stuff. I have new stuff, you know, commentary that I'd like to cover. And, you know, I'm trying to figure out a format. So anyway, so that's what I'm doing this week. So I'll hear from you. You'll hear from me again soon, actually. And in the meantime, I hope you had a great weekend. And I'll talk to you again soon this Thursday, actually. And so stay tuned for that. So thanks again. And as always, keep trucking on. Thanks for listening to the Melissa Dears Report. Bye-bye.